We read this morning from Acts chapter 18. And our text for today is found there in verse 2. Acts 18 and verse 2. And found, that is, Paul found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them, that is, Paul, came unto them. The great and godly missionary, Paul the Apostle, is on the move once again. Here we are told he departed from Athens and came to Corinth, verse 1. Paul had some success in Athens, as we see from the last verse of the previous chapter. But now he comes to Corinth, where the Lord told him in verse 10, I have much people in this city. And this shows us that God has his elect, even in the worst of places, because Corinth was a most wicked and sinful place. Lasciviousness was not only practiced there and allowed, but was consecrated by the worship of the goddess Venus. The people there were shameless, immoral. Corinth was a cesspool of debauchery, unlike any other city of that time. And yet, the Lord did say, I have much people in this city. So Paul had gone there to find out, to find them out through the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ. But where does a man go upon entering into a strange city, a sinful city amongst a sinful people? Where does he go to begin his ministry there? Well, amazingly, Paul did meet up with a couple, Aquila and Priscilla, a couple of saints, a couple of God's chosen people. Imagine meeting up with two of God's people living in such a place as Corinth, surrounded by such wickedness and sin. But we are told that he not only came unto them, but we are informed that he abode with them, verse 3. And a friendship, a bond was forged between Paul and this husband and wife, which lasted until the day that the Lord called Paul to higher service. And before that day, Paul spoke highly of Aquila and Priscilla. For he said in Romans 16 and verse 3, there he said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. He referred to them as my helpers, my co-laborers in Christ Jesus. So I want to look at this married couple, this husband and wife, Aquila and Priscilla, and consider what is written about them and what we can learn from them and what we learn from them, we can apply to our own lives. First of all, regarding Aquila and Priscilla, I want us to notice that they were hospitable. They were hospitable. We are told that upon his arrival in Corinth, verse 2, Paul found a certain Jew named Aquila with his wife Priscilla. And the first thing we notice about this couple is that they were a godly pair. A godly pair. Although a Jew by birth, it is evident that Aquila, and indeed his wife, were converted to Christianity. I say evident, yet there is no record of their new birth. Also, in the 6 references to Aquila and Priscilla that we have in the New Testament, there is not one recorded word that was spoken by them. Not one word. Now, of course, you look at the verse 26 of Acts 18, and we are told there that they expounded unto a man called Apollos. They expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. But there is no record of what they actually said unto Apollos. So if there's no record of their conversion, and not one recorded word spoken by them, how can we then say that they were a godly couple or a godly pair? I believe we can safely say that they were godly because their works spoke for them. In every reference involving Aquila and Priscilla, they are involved in the Lord's work. This reminds us of the words of James. If you turn there to James, James chapter 2, in James 2, and we read there in verse 20, James 2 and verse 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" And so if someone professes to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they do not produce any works for the Lord, James here says their faith is vain. There's nothing there. If you go down to James in chapter 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Once again, James is saying, if a person professes to have faith in Jesus Christ, but there's no works there, then James says their faith is dead. They don't have any faith in Jesus Christ at all. And so applying the words of James now to Aquila and Priscilla, we see their lives were all works, all for the Lord. They were working for God. And that, dear believer, is the evidence that a man or a woman is truly saved and has faith in Jesus Christ if they involve themselves and give themselves in works for the Lord, if they're busy for God. So the work that Aquila and Priscilla did for the Lord was evidence of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. No, they didn't boast, and they didn't brag about what they were doing for the Lord. we've already pointed out, there's no recorded words from Aquila and Priscilla. But their works spoke for them. And it was enough to look at their lives and see what they did for God to be convinced. Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife, knew and loved the Lord. As well as noticing and seeing that they were a godly pair, we see, as far as their lives are concerned, we see God's providence. How often do we marvel at the providential workings of God? And here we have a perfect example of it in the life of Aquila and Priscilla and their meeting with Paul. Here before us, we have that example that all things do work together for good to them that love God. Paul had arrived in Corinth, a stranger there, and then we are told he found a certain Jew named Aquila. Aquila and his wife Priscilla had been driven out of their home in Italy because of persecution against the Jews by Caesar Claudius. We see that there in verse 2. And we look there at the wording. In verse 2, we'll read it again. And he found certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. Mark the words. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy. So it appears that Aquila and Priscilla had more or less just arrived in Corinth, had set up home there in Corinth just before Paul arrived. They had lately come from Italy. They had just arrived in Corinth, and not long after that, Paul arrived. There's the providence of God. We see the perfect timing. But it shows that our sovereign God was in control, as he's in control of all things today. For what Claudius meant for evil in expelling all the Jews, what Claudius meant for evil, God meant it for good. And here we see how the Lord used the wrath of man to praise him. Psalm 76 and verse 10. So we have learned something now about this couple. We notice also not only this godly pair and God's providence, we notice also God's place. That is God's place where the apostle could stay when he arrived in Corinth. God worked it all out. There was Aquila and Priscilla lately come to Corinth just before Paul arrived. Perfect timing. And Paul came unto them. He met them. And then we see in verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. And Paul, abiding with them, with Aquila and Priscilla, that was God's place. God had a place already set apart for Paul before he arrived in Corinth. God had prepared the way before him. So when he arrived in Corinth, there he met that couple. And then we are told in the verse 3, he abode with them. This tells us something more about this godly couple, and it emphasizes their hospitality. They brought Paul into their home, and he was able to abide with them. Regarding this place, this God's place, God who had chosen this place for Paul, we notice, first of all, it was a welcoming place. There certainly was no reluctance on the part of Aquila and Priscilla to welcome Paul into their home. Aquila would certainly have made a good church elder, because hospitality, being hospitable, is one of the qualifications of such an office. If you turn there to 1 Timothy, the chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop or elder, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Notice, given to hospitality. Well, Aquila and his wife were certainly given to hospitality. The word hospitality there, the word means a lover of strangers. And my, if ever a word was aptly used to describe Aquila and Priscilla, it's the word hospitality. Because they were a lover of strangers. There's Paul, a stranger in the city of Corinth. And we're told he abode with them. They opened their home to him. They were most hospitable towards him. And hospitality means a lover of strangers. And here, this godly couple showed their love for this stranger, this missionary called Paul. And Paul undoubtedly was a stranger there in Corinth, and Priscilla and Aquila took them into their home. But being hospitable is not just the qualification of an elder, but it is something that ought to be seen in all Christians. That's what the Apostle Peter tells us. If you turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter 4, and there we read in verse 8, 1 Peter 4, verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Now we know from 1 Corinthians 13, where the word charity is mentioned often, the word means love. Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for charity shall overcome the multitude of sins. Verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So whenever a Christian is being hospitable, when they open their home, they are showing they have the grace of God in their lives. That's what it says in the end of verse 10. Stewards of the manifold grace of God, use hospitality one to another without grudging. No, without grudging. The word grudging there means murmuring, without murmuring, without complaining. And so Paul was given that warm welcome into the home of Aquila and Priscilla, and there was no murmuring. There was no begrudging Paul a place in their home. Oh, to be like Aquila and Priscilla. They had a welcoming home. As well as it being a welcoming home or a welcoming place, this home of Aquila and Priscilla was a worshiping place. That is, God was worshipped in their home. Not only by them alone, but others were welcomed into their home, and there, together, they worshipped the Lord. How do I know? If you go over to Romans, chapter 16, where Paul spoke so highly of Aquila and Priscilla, Romans 16, verse 3, Paul says, "Greet Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers, my co-laborers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house." Greet the church that is in their house. And we have the same thing in 1 Corinthians. And there in the chapter 16, in 1 Corinthians 16 and in verse 19, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." And so there, twice over, we are told that in the house of Aquila and Priscilla, they're gathered God's people to worship the Lord. John Calvin, commenting on those words, John Calvin said this, "It is worthy of observation that Paul could not confer a more distinguished honor, an ornament, on this family than by making mention of the church in their house." You see, in apostolic times, God's people had nowhere to meet and to assemble to worship except in one another's homes. And once again, all who made up the assembly of worshippers here in Corinth or wherever Aquila and Priscilla settled down, their house was open. It was a welcoming place. They were certainly given to hospitality. On the other hand, it was quite possible that this godly couple had opened their home and invited others to come in, and they held a service in their home. They had house meetings. That is something that was very common over in Northern Ireland, in Ulster. People would do that very thing. They would have house meetings, or they were called cottage meetings. And they would open their home, they would invite people to come in, they would have a speaker and someone would bring the word, and they'd have a time of fellowship, and it was used as an outreach. They would invite the unsaved in from around the neighborhood and brought them into their home to get them under the sound of the word. And here is Aquila and Priscilla. And they opened their house. It was a welcoming place. It was a worshiping place. Something else. And again, it all goes to show you the providence of God. It was not only a welcoming home, it was a worshiping home, it was a working home. It was a working place. As well as being believers, we see that Paul and Aquila, certainly Aquila, had something else in common. We read in verse 3 of Acts 18, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Can you imagine that? And all the people who lived in the city of Corinth, God directed Paul to the house of Aquila and Priscilla, a godly couple who opened their home to him, were hospitable, welcomed Paul into their home, and lo and behold, Paul and Aquila had the same craft. They were both tent makers. And here they had this occupation in common. They were both tent makers. And so it was in the Lord's providence that God brought the two together. Paul and Aquila. And there was no reluctance on the apostles' part. Think of it. There was no reluctance on the part of Paul, as it were, to get his hands dirtied. He was not ashamed of honest industry. Oh, he was called to be a preacher. He was called to be a missionary. But he was not ashamed of honest industry for a livelihood. Just go on over a couple of chapters to chapter 20 of Acts. Acts 20 and verse 34. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. These hands have ministered unto my necessity. Paul got down to hard labor and hard work. And he was not afraid or ashamed to do that. And what does this say about Aquila? It certainly says that he was a hard-working Christian man, well supported by his wife, Priscilla. He was a hard-working Christian. That's the way it ought to be. Turn, please, to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8. Verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. You can say Paul certainly wasn't a freeloader. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor, worked with his hands. He got his hands dirty. And travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man, if any would not work, neither should he eat. You can see Paul had no time for lazy individuals who wouldn't work. Notice carefully what he said. He didn't say, those who could not work. No. And there are many, of course, because of different circumstances, they cannot work. That's not who he was talking to or talking about. But he said those who would not work, talking about those who were lazy. Dealing with freeloaders. Take all they can get, but give nothing in return. Paul was certainly not like that. And he didn't want the believers in Thessalonica to be like that either. He wanted them to be hard workers. That's what Paul was. And lo and behold, God brought Paul to the house of Aquila, who was also a hard working Christian. As well as regarding Aquila and Priscilla, this married couple, as well as their hospitality, we notice they were helpful. They were hospitable. And we see, secondly, they were helpful. We know that from those words that we have read already a couple of times in Romans 16. Paul said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, my co-laborers, my fellow laborers, they're my helpers in Christ Jesus. And so Aquila and Priscilla, they helped Paul in the cause of Christ. That's what he's saying. And Paul says, salute them. They're my helpers. And we see something of the help that they had been to Paul when we look at Acts 18 and verse 18. Verse 18, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him, Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. It is not understood whether that referred to Aquila or to Paul, but what the point we want to make here is that they went with Paul to help him in the cause of Christ. And you look at those words, and we see, first of all, regarding them being helpful, we see, first of all, their surrender. They were prepared to leave home, to leave all there in Corinth, and go with Paul. It says that, and went with him, Priscilla and Aquila, prepared to leave all and go with Paul to Ephesus. Here was a godly husband and wife, completely surrendered to the Lord, prepared to leave house and home and business and go through with God, as we sang this morning. Above thine own ambitions hear, another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God for thee. O, leave thine all. Leave thine all and follow me. Go through with God, thy vows to pay. Thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and give to thee God's very best. And so it was with Priscilla and Aquila. They went through with God. And this shows that Priscilla was prepared to go with her husband. Prepared to go with her husband as far as was necessary. Went from Corinth to Ephesus. Why was she prepared to go? because they were one flesh. Genesis 2:24. They were one flesh in Christ. Indeed, we see the willingness of Priscilla to go on this journey with her husband, because I find it interesting in Acts 18 and verse 18, where they left Corinth and went with Paul. Notice, Priscilla's name is mentioned first this time. It's not Aquila and Priscilla. Now it's Priscilla and Aquila. And to me, that emphasizes that Priscilla was willing to go. She stepped out with her husband and went with him to Ephesus, as many of her own missionaries have done. God has called the man to serve God in some other far-off land. What would the wife do? I am reminded of the word that was question that was put to Rebecca regarding going with Isaac. The question was, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Genesis 24:58. Would Priscilla go with Aquila? Question could have been put to her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And the answer was the same as Rebecca's. "I will go." And so Priscilla and Aquila surrendered their all to the will of God, and they both went together to help Paul in his missionary work. No wonder Paul said, "Salute Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." And this godly couple could say, "Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so." And I remember, "'Twas for me that he was slain on Calvary." We notice not only their surrender regarding them being helpful, but they were helpful also in the Scriptures. Not only in their surrender, but in the Scriptures. Would you go down in chapter 18 of Acts? There now to verse 24. Verse 24, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." Now what's that all about? Well, we see that Aquila and Priscilla were in the synagogue there in Ephesus when this man, Apollos, came and spoke there one day. When they were in their place of worship, they obviously listened carefully to what Apollos was saying. But as they listened, they discerned something. They discerned that he had not a proper grasp of the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It appears that he did not have a proper understanding of the identity of Christ. It would appear that he did not understand that Christ was the Messiah. And so Aquila and Priscilla took him to the one side and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Mark the words. Expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. When that term is used, as we will see in a couple of other references, when that term is used, it refers to Christ and to those who were in the way and were followers of Christ. You go back to Acts chapter 9. We know what Saul of Tarsus was up to before his conversion. We read there in Acts 9, verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, followers of Christ, went on to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way," there it is, "any of this way," turn over to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19 and verse 9. "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way." They're referring to the gospel of Christ. And those who received the gospel and became followers of the Lord Jesus, they were those that were in that way. Of course, we know that the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You go on down to chapter 19 to verse 23. "And the same time there arose no small about that way." And so we see that when Aquila and Priscilla listened to Apollos, they discerned something. And there you have their discernment. They knew that there was something that wasn't quite right about what Apollos was saying in reference to the Lord Jesus. He may have been an eloquent man. He may have been mighty in the scriptures. But Aquila and Priscilla discerned something. We're told then they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Notice something. And this again emphasizes the godly nature of this couple. They didn't get into an argument with them or debate with him. They graciously took him to one side. And what did they do? We're told that they made the way of God more clearly unto him, took him unto them, and expounded the truth about Christ unto him. This shows us something else about Aquila and Priscilla. They had a deep knowledge of the Word, and they had a deep knowledge of Jesus Christ. They were able to listen to Apollos and discerned what he was saying wasn't strictly correct about Christ. And so they had a word with him. So say they had a knowledge of the Lord. The Apostle Peter exhorts all believers to have a deep knowledge of Christ. Not talking about salvation, more to do with sanctification. Having a good, deep knowledge of the Lord. For in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 we read, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter says, I don't want you to be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We notice then their discernment and then their diligence. For we read in verse 26 of Acts 18, verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. More perfectly. The word perfectly here means accurately or diligently. They wanted to make sure that Apollos understood perfectly what they were saying to him about the Lord Jesus. And don't we have a wonderful picture here again of a caring couple who wanted to make sure that their Lord and Savior was well spoken of by Apollos. They were a wholly helpful couple. As Paul says, they're my helpers in Christ Jesus. And they took the time and they explained to Apollos, and they did so diligently. They were diligent. They took their time with him. We notice then their surrender, their helpfulness and their surrender, their helpfulness in the scripture, their helpfulness in their sacrifice. Please go to Romans again, 16. Romans 16, and there we read in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have, mark this, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. There's their sacrifice. They were prepared to lay down their own lives, lay down their necks for the Apostle Paul. Such a friendship had been forged between them and the Apostle that they were prepared to sacrifice all for the cause of Christ in the person of the Apostle Paul. What Paul said in verse 4 means that Aquila and Priscilla put themselves in imminent danger to save the life of Paul. That's what it means. We're not told when and where that all took place, but evidently all the churches knew about it. As Paul says, not only would he give thanks, who have for my life laid down their necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Everybody knew about it. And once again, reminding ourselves of one of our first points, we do not read of anything that Aquila and Priscilla said. No word is recorded. And so what they did for Paul, they didn't boast about it. But evidently the church has heard about it. And they all gave thanks for Aquila and Priscilla for what they did. Turn, please, to 1 John. 1 John and the chapter 3. 1 John 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. And whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? It may not come to a point where we give our lives for others. But what John is emphasizing here is we ought to have a love for our brethren and help them out wherever we can. Well, that's what Aquila and Priscilla did. Paul says they laid down their necks for me. They did it for me. They did it for Paul in Christ. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Aquila and Priscilla were willing to do. They've considered their hospitality, their helpfulness. Finally, they were honored. They were honored, as we've read there in Romans 16. Paul says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. I give thanks for them. He honored them for their labors. Unto whom not only I give thanks. The apostle here wasn't merely saying to them, thank you. No. What Paul was doing was thanking God for them. You recall when the Lord was given the loaves and the fishes, he took them and he gave thanks. He was thanking his heavenly Father. And here Paul is thanking God for Aquila and Priscilla. Paul was saying, I thank God for bringing you into my life. I thank God for all of your labors. I thank God for your love for me. Paul said, he thanked God for them. That was a great honor for Paul to say of Aquila and Priscilla, I thank God for you. I thank the Lord for you. Not only did he thank the Lord for their labors, but he thanked the Lord for their love. 2 Timothy 4:19. Paul says, salute Priscilla and Aquila. Or salute Prisca, same person, and Aquila. Salute. The word salute there means to embrace or to draw together. You embrace someone because you have a love for them. But Paul wasn't with Aquila and Priscilla at that time, so he says, salute them. I would love to embrace them. I would love to draw them onto myself. So he thanked the Lord for them. He honored them for their labors. He honored them for their love. Aquila and Priscilla had lived lives of sacrifice and service. And we also would salute them ourselves today. And we know that they have already received their well done from hand of God. Well done, my good and faithful servants. I trust that our study of Aquila and Priscilla will stir our own hearts to be more like them. May the Lord bless his word. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving God, we thank thee for such great saints of thine. This man and his dear wife, how they served and sacrificed for the cause of Christ. Lord, write this word upon our own hearts. May we want to be like them. And may we want to be like their Savior even more. Lord, be with us throughout this Sabbath day. Watch over us. Keep thy hand upon us, Lord, throughout this week. Keep the plague from our dwellings. Keep us safe and well and healthy. Remember the frontline workers, the doctors and the nurses, and the caregivers. Bless them, every one. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.